All right, well, we're going to go to where we've been the last several evening services, and that's the book of James tonight. Just continuing right on through, Sunday night and Wednesday night. Never done that, and I know by doing that, some folks might miss something, but a passage. But anyway, we're just moving right along with it, and hopefully most everybody's getting in on it. And tonight we're in chapter 2, the latter part of chapter 2, one of the most difficult, controversial passages in the Bible, and I'll try to make it simple. I think it is simple. It is simple, but it can be a tough one for a lot of people. And so we're talking about tonight a working faith in James chapter 2. And we're going to concentrate on verses 14 down through 26. But let's look right here at verse 24 to start with. All right, look at verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Did y'all get that? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Let's pray. Father God, direct us tonight and help us. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go through all the verses here in just a moment, and then we'll just try to give a brief explanation of it tonight. But that verse right there scares the theology of a lot of folks. And matter of fact, you fundamental Baptist folks, if you just heard what I read, you're probably like, oh my goodness, we got it wrong. I thought salvation was by grace through faith alone, and now James just said salvation and justification is by works. Are y'all with me tonight? Y'all here? Y'all here tonight? You get that? So that's why it's a difficult passage, because it seems as if James is teaching a works salvation, which we as Baptists do not believe a works salvation. We don't believe that we're saved by works, like that verse appears to say right there. It seems as if James is contradicting Paul's teaching, especially in Romans and other places. Now, James wrote this before Paul wrote Romans, but I do not believe that Paul was trying to correct James, because the truth of the matter is they complement each other, they don't contradict each other. Now let me just sort of put it like this, folks. Let me give you this right here and keep this in your mind as we go through tonight, because I believe this is what he's talking about. I believe James is talking about we need both faith and works for the Christian life, not necessarily for salvation. Okay? You got to have faith for salvation. You don't need works for salvation. But for the Christian life, you need both of those working together. And I believe that's where James is in what he's trying to teach right here. Okay? I heard about this fella. He ran a rowboat, and he had two guys that he would take across the river every day. And those two guys were opposite in their theology, and one believed in a work salvation, one believed in a faith salvation, and they would argue. So every day he would row his boat across there, delivering these two, and he had to listen to this theological argument. So one day he decided to make an object lesson to them. So on one of his oars he wrote faith, and on the other oar he wrote works. So they got going, they got started, and he dropped one oar, and he said, I'm just going to use works today. And you know what they did? Started going in a circle, because he was only using the works. And they said, come on, man, stop that. He said, okay, well, I'll stop that, I'll go with faith. And then he started doing it, and then they started going in circles the other way. And they was like, what are you trying to do? He said, I'm making a point. You've got to have both of these to live for the Lord. You've got to have both of these to go straight in your Christian life. You have to have faith to get saved, yes, but you've got to have faith and works to effectively live for God. I think, hopefully they got the point, right? Now, let's just back up here before we get into the message, and let's just take a look here at the verses. Beginning in verse 14, James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." I believe that's a key statement right there. Verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils," that's demons, "also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, you say, "Preacher, I heard what you said a minute ago, but it sounds to me like he's talking about salvation, and he's saying you got to have both of them to make it to heaven." Now, here's the problem with that. That would contradict too much of other scripture, right? We have to interpret what James is saying in light of the body of theology that we have as a whole in the New Testament. Otherwise, James is saying something that contradicts the rest of them, such as Paul, right? So it really becomes a thorn for some people because they think James is contradicting the common belief that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, which Paul so famously said. So again, I think you have to take what he said in the context and understand other Bible teachings in order to realize what James is really trying to teach here. So is he telling us you're saved by works? I don't believe so, because that would contradict. By the way, some people actually debated whether James should be in the Bible or not. Martin Luther of the Reformation, he had a problem with it. But I'm saying you got to understand what he's trying to say here, what he's teaching. All right, let me give you just three ideas tonight. Number one, some have an idle faith. Some have an idle faith. Now, in idle faith, he said, verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Then he gives an illustration. He says, someone is in need of food and clothing, and you say to him, "Have a good day, stay warm, eat good," but yet you didn't give him what he needed in order to do that. That was a benevolent need, and you didn't care enough to give him the things he needed. Therefore, you just sent him on his way. So you had an idle faith because your faith didn't do anything. Your faith was not put in action. Your faith did not produce any works to meet the need. It's an idle faith in that sense right there. It's an idle faith. So he, whenever he used the word in verse 14, he said, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say?" He claims to have faith, but there's no action, there's no evidence to prove that he has faith. That's the point. His faith is idle. In other words, he says, "I believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. I'm proud to say I'm a Christian." But he has no action to back it up, right? You say, well, what he says and what he does, it doesn't add up, it doesn't match. He's just claiming something. He says he professes faith, but I wonder, does he actually possess faith? Because I don't see the evidence or action in his life, right? So he makes you wonder as to whether or not he's truly saved. So it's just an empty claim to say it and not show it. Now he asks the question, can his faith save him? And I think the idea there is, can that kind of faith save him? A faith that just makes claims, but yet there's no life to it. There's no action to it. Well, the answer would be no, because it's just an idle faith. It's just a words faith. You know, some people have faith up here. Yeah, I understand there's a God. I think there's a God. But they don't have faith down here. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, you need to trust the Lord with your heart, right? It's a complete trust. It's not just a mental assent that some people have. So it's an empty faith, and that kind of faith is not going to make a difference in a person's life. Why? It's not in the right source. People say it all the time, I have strong faith. In who or what is what you got to ask. A lot of people have faith in humanity. A lot of people have faith in their self. A lot of people have faith in good luck. But do they have faith? The only kind of faith that's going to make a difference in your life, the only kind of faith that's going to change your life and make you care and have compassion and actually step forward and serve God and serve others, is a faith that is in the Son of God. All other faith is misplaced, and therefore it is an idle faith, right? It doesn't do anything. It's not effective. It does not make a difference. Now, I want to say this before I move on. I'm going to move on, but let me say this. I think a lot of Christians do have what we would call an idle faith, in the sense that they believe the Lord, they got saved, but they don't serve God, and they don't really live for God, and you have to wonder because you're not seeing it. But you know what's going to happen if they're truly saved? They're going to answer to God one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to regretfully have to admit, yes, I had faith, but it was an idle faith because I didn't do anything with it. Yes, I saw needs. Yes, I saw that hungry person. No, I didn't. I never took a step forward to try to help anybody. No, I never witnessed anybody. No, I didn't go to church. No, I didn't serve you down there on the earth. I didn't do these things. You had an idle faith. Now, some people might have an idle faith and they're still saved. But some people have an idle faith just because it's in the mind, it's in the words, but it never got to the heart, right? You don't want an idle faith, right? Idle. It's not doing anything. That faith doesn't do anything. So his point is, real faith shows up in real service. Okay, let's say this. Number two is this. Some people have dead faith. Dead faith. Now, he mentioned here in verse 18, he said, yea, man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Well, maybe he's just trying to, he's religious, he's trying to work his way to heaven. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And I think that's a key thing. A faith ought to produce works, real faith. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, he says this, some people have a dead faith. A lot of people have a dead heart, seems like. They're not inclined to God at all. But they can say, I believe God. He said, you know, demons actually believe and they tremble. You've seen it in the Bible, right? You ever read the Gospels where the Lord approached a demon-possessed person and that demon would speak up and say, Lord Jesus, have you come to torment me before the time? And they tremble because they know Jesus is the Son of God. They know He's God the Son. And they tremble, but they're not getting saved. Again, it's all up here. It's a dead faith. It can't be down here. So that's just an example he gives. But there are some people that actually are living like that. They have acknowledged God, but they have never committed to God. That's why whenever I witness to people, you know, you got to be careful witness to folks. And, you know, hey, do you want to go to heaven? Yeah, you know you're a sinner? Yeah. Well, pray this prayer. Lord, forgive me my sin. Save my soul. And then you go on and nothing ever comes of it. A lot of times, again, it's just a mental thing, but they didn't really trust the Lord. There was no Holy Spirit conviction. The Holy Spirit wasn't involved. They were just saying yes to you. but they never said yes to Jesus. So without Holy Spirit conviction, there's not going to be any salvation, there's not going to be any changed life, and it's going to be a dead faith. A lot of people say, yeah, hey, I think I'll go to heaven. Why? Well, I'm trying to be a good person. Well, you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Oh, well, I did that when I was about 12. I did that when I was 20. You did what? I prayed and asked the Lord, has it changed your life? Is the Lord in your life? Have you ever done anything for God? No. Their faith is in a prayer. But I'm going to tell you, a prayer doesn't save you. Church attendance doesn't save you. Being a good person doesn't save you. It's only going to take heartfelt trust in the person of Jesus Christ in response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit for real, true conversion to take place. Otherwise, it can be a dead faith. It's just in the mind. Now, let me say this. We need a living, productive faith, right? So is James contradicting Paul? Is James saying, if you work hard enough, you'll make it? No, I don't believe he's saying that at all. I think the point James is making is this. If you have a real faith, it will show up, it will be manifested, it will be evidence. People will be able to see there was a difference in your life and you lived the Christian life. You know, I always say this. When you die, don't make us wonder whether or not you were saved. If we saw it in your life, we're comforted, right? And that's what he's dealing with right here. Now, look, I don't know. But I tell you what, I've done some funerals before where I could say, this dear brother, this dear sister, I declare, they love Jesus, they serve God. You know, and you can go on and on. Why? Because their life showed it. You say, well, you don't know the heart. I don't know the heart, but we do know what the Bible also teaches about by their works, by their fruit, we shall know them, right? That's what James is getting at right here. That real faith will show up, it will shine the light, it will serve God, it will soothe others. He's saying that the kind of faith we need, it'll show up. Amen? It'll show out, so to speak. All right, some have an idle faith, some have a dead faith. But let me say number three, there's examples here of productive faith. And that's where he begins to talk about Abraham and Rahab, two Old Testament characters. Did you know that Old Testament people were saved the same way we are? By faith in the Word of God, right? Now, you say, well, wait a minute, he's giving an example here. No, he is giving an example here, but he's giving an example of a faith that works. A faith that works, right? And that's what he's showing. He said, real faith is seen in action. Now, real faith will trust God. Real faith will obey the commandments. Real faith will get involved. Real faith will serve others, right? Again, we don't want to have to wonder about it. So we're confident when such people like Abraham passed that we saw their faith in action. Right? Now, he says Abraham and Rahab. Now, one would be a religious person, one would be a sinner. Abraham? Abraham did a lot, but the example here is he offered his son Isaac in obedience to God. His faith produced an action. His faith produced a work. Right? What did Rahab do? Rahab trusted God, and she put it into action when she helped the spies escape there in the Old Testament. Her faith set her in motion to do something for God. That's the example he's making there, all right? So again, I think what he's talking about here is we need both faith and works for the Christian life, not necessarily for salvation. If you're going to live the Christian life the right way, you have to be able to do both of these things. So, in verse 23, it's interesting. In verse 23, he really says the same thing as he and Paul make the same point. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So he said, you know, Abraham's faith was seen in his works, and his faith was imputed. Now Paul used this in Romans 4. Paul said, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." He said, "Hey, if he was justified by works, then he'd go to heaven and boast about it." Verse 3. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, what was it? His belief. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now, they both said the same thing. One said imputed for righteousness. One said counted for righteousness. You've heard me say it before. If you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will take the righteousness of Christ and count it to your account. Your sins will be washed away under the blood, right? And the righteousness of Christ will be put on you. Now, you know, on the cross, your sins were put on Jesus. At salvation, when you trusted, His righteousness was imputed, counted, reckoned, transferred, if you will, to you. That's a wonderful verse right there. Amen? How was it done for Old Testament saints? By faith. But here's the deal. Their faith produced service. Their faith moved them to action. Their faith showed up in their works. So, the matter of salvation is about faith. The matter of service and living for God, we have to have both. The just shall live by faith. The just shall continue to live by faith. The just will keep on living by faith. The just will work and serve and obey God. How do you do it? You do it by faith. How do you serve God? By faith. How do you let your light so shine? By faith. How do you trust God in the trials and the testings and the problems and the hurts and the heartaches and the heartbreaks of your life? By faith. How do you help somebody else get through a hard time? Because you've been through a hard time. You trusted God with your hard time, and then you were able to comfort and help somebody else in their hard time. Your faith was put into action to help somebody. Right? So that's what he's trying to say. The reason Abraham did such great things, works, is because he trusted God. He offered his son, Isaac, on the altar. You know, he said, he eventually said that he believed God would have raised him from the dead. Why? Because God had already promised to make a great nation out of that boy. Well, how's God going to make a great nation out of him if I kill him? He trusted God with the whole thing. But his trust moved him to obey God. Rahab was in a bad situation. She was in a fearful situation, yet she was moved in action. She was not sitting in the corner hiding out. She was moved in action. Why? Because she was trusting God. Your trust and your faith brings about good works. It changes your life. It makes you want to serve God. And then these things are wrought together in the Christian life. These things go together. In verse 22, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect," or you could say manifest or made known or matured, or his faith was growing as he worked and served God. You know, we're talking about a head faith and a heart faith. I read one statement where somebody said that there's either a head faith or there's a heart and hands faith. You know, we support an organization called Hearts with Hands. What does that mean? What is that? That is an action group. I mean, when the hurricane comes, they go into that area. Why? Because their heart moves their hands to action. But where did it all start? From their faith. Sure, they have a head faith. They believe God. They believe the Bible. But it's in their heart. And when it got to their heart, it moved to their hands. That's what happened to Abraham and Rahab and James. That's what they're talking about here. And I believe it's just a matter of their faith showing up. Now look at verse 26. Verse 26 is a good one. "For as the body without the spirit is dead." Now, you know, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, right? If your spirit leaves your body, your body is dead, right? When we say a person passed on, their spirit left, but yet you see the body, right? So he says here, as the body without the spirit is dead, that we understand that. A dead body has no action, right? A dead body gives no movement, correct? And then he said, so faith without works is dead also. What it's going to take to quicken the spirit, to make alive the spirit of the human spirit, is a faith in the Word of the Holy Spirit. And then a work is done to quicken our soul and make us alive, and then we get busy serving God. That's why you have to be born again. Because the first time you were born physically. The second time you're born in spirit, spiritually, right? Then you're made complete and you're made whole. Then you can serve God. The Lord said, why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, but you do not the things that I say? Why do people do that? Idle faith and dead faith. But this, we're talking about a real faith. Let your faith, don't let it be idle. Feed it with the Word of God. Don't let your faith be dead. Trust in the Lord. And then you can have a living, productive faith that trusts God, obeys the commands, fights sin, glorifies God, helps your neighbor. Amen, right? Cares about other people. Goes to church. Serves the Lord. Does things for God. Whether it be in the local church or throughout the week, Christian people following the Lord are going to be serving the Lord. What is it? They'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Right? Warren Wiersbe said, he sort of summed this passage up like this. God sees our faith. But men can only see our faith by our works. That's a good summary statement, right? God sees faith. Now again, if a Christian's got idle faith, I don't know. I'm gonna have to have hope in their profession of faith that they said they were saved, but I didn't see it, right? But God could. If real faith is there, God sees it. But for a lot of Christian people, I can see their faith. I don't really see their faith, but I see the works their faith produced, right? You know, Jesus said in John 3, the Spirit is like the wind. You don't see the wind, but you see what the wind does, right? We don't see the Spirit in a person. God does, we don't. But we do see what the Spirit moves the person to do, right? And that's what Jesus was talking about there in John 3. I've never seen the wind, but I tell you what, I've seen what the wind can do, right? I've never seen the wind, but I've seen it blow the limbs around, right? I've never seen the wind, but I've seen it tumble houses over before, right? God sees your faith. Other people can only see your faith by your works. That's why he gave two examples of Abraham and Rahab. And I think it's true in our life as well. Faith works. You ought to have a working faith. A living faith, a productive faith. Because he said twice, by the way, when he started out, what doth it profit if you have an idle faith or a dead faith? But what does it profit if you have a living, productive, active, serving faith? Profits a whole lot, right? So your faith produces a Christian life, which is seen in your works. I think that's all James is saying. He's not contradicting the rest of the Bible. He's not contradicting Paul. He's just saying what I just said. Let people see your good works and glorify your Father. How do you do that? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father, which art in heaven, right? So may we ask God to help us. Lord, I'm not out here to get glory. I'm not out here to get a pat on the back. I'm not out here to do a bunch of good works so somebody will say. No, no, no. I just want to trust God, follow Him, and do the things that He moves me to do as I trust in Him every day. Isn't that the way it ought to be right there? A Christian life by faith that moves us to serve and do something for God. Amen? Bow your heads with me tonight, please, as we think about this. Dear Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight. We thank You for James. We thank You for what He's telling us and teaching us here tonight. And Lord, I pray You'd help us, God, to be able to understand it, Lord, and not complicate it, not confuse it. But Lord, help us to have a productive, living, serving faith, God, that can be seen so that You can be glorified. And Lord, help others, God, that perhaps have an idle faith or a dead faith. And Lord, I pray, God, You'd quicken that spirit, Lord, so that the life would be manifested. The life would be seen there. And there'd be both faith and works in that life. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hope I didn't try to overcomplicate that for you tonight. I tried not to, but I hope that'll help you.
Amen. Well, let's stand up one more time now. Let's stand one more time. We're going to turn to 461. 461 in your hymnal, Stepping in the Light. 461. We're going to sing just that first verse, Stepping in the Light.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of